message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
We're certainly glad you've joined us today. We always hope that our time together is a blessing to you and a help. We want more than anything else to help you to understand and enjoy the Word of God, because as you grasp the Word of God, as you become biblically intelligized, as you get a firm understanding of God's Word rightly divided, then you don't need me. And you don't need any other preacher, or you don't need a religious system. You're able to stand on your own, lacking nothing, because of the identity and the sufficiency of God's grace to you in Christ. That only comes into your life as an experience and a reality. It only becomes your life. Now, life is what you live. It's what you experience. It only becomes your life as you by faith rest in the truth and claim the reality that God gives you in His Word, the identity that God gives you in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that it's Christ living in you. And as Paul says in Colossians, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He puts you in His Son, and when He puts you in Christ, He puts Christ in you. Now we've come to Romans chapter 12, and this is a great chapter about the service of the believer. And I say to you again, you go 11 chapters in Romans of doctrine about who you are in Christ, about what God has done for you in Christ by Christ dying for your sins, Romans 1 to 5, by Christ identifying you in His death, burial, and resurrection, by you being in Him and dying with Him and being raised to walk in newness of life, taking you out from under the law program, putting you under the grace program, and empowering you by His Spirit to live in the reality of who you are in Christ. Then chapter 9, 10, and 11, the issue of the fall of Israel and salvation going to the Gentiles to us today through the ministry of the Apostle Paul, how that you are not Israel. You are not spiritual Israel. You are not the inheritors of God's program to the nation Israel. But what God is doing today is forming something brand new, a new vessel unto honor. Having shaped the vessel of Israel unto a vessel of dishonor, He's replaced her today with the church, the body of Christ. God isn't through with Israel. He'll go back and give Israel her promises. You don't want to make the mistake of going and claiming Israel's promises as yours, because God is still going to give them to Israel. And that would be spiritual larceny, robbery, for you to go take something that God has given to someone else. But they're enemies for the gospel's sake, Paul says, but they're beloved for the Father's sake. God's going to fulfill His promises to Israel, because the gifts and callings of God are without repentance, without any change of mind on God's part. He will do what He said He will do. So we are not Israel, but we are the church, the body of Christ. And we've been cleansed from our sins, and we've been set free from the dominion of sin, and we've been given life in Christ. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, first part of that verse is the first 11 chapters of Romans. The last part, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's where we are in Romans 12 to 16. The last foundation principle of grace for you to understand is to understand your sonship walk, the walk of grace. Not just the position and the identity, but your practice and how your identity affects your life, how your life is the life of Christ. And we've seen the first couple of verses, how they look back at the things that God has accomplished for us. And literally He says, just be yourself. Let the real you that God has made you in Christ, let that be what your life is all about. God, the Holy Spirit, seeks to fill the believer with the character and the life of Jesus Christ. God the Holy Spirit never, are you listening now? God the Holy Spirit's purpose is not to fill you with Himself. Not to talk, not to cause you to be thinking about, talking about, and focusing on Him. Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth has come, He will magnify me. When God the Holy Spirit is leading you, He will not lead you to magnify himself and his ministry. He will lead you to magnify the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will focus your attention on what God has accomplished for you in Jesus Christ. And when your focus is being focused on that, then you are being led by the Spirit of Almighty God. Because God's Spirit works through his word no other way. He does not work through your emotions. He does not work through your circumstances. He does not work through your human viewpoint and reasoning and intellect. He works through his word. So we take his word, we store it up in our hearts. That gives God the Holy Spirit the resources to take that word, and as it's the word of God that works in you that believe, God the Holy Spirit takes that word resident in our hearts and the mentality of our soul and energizes our lives by transforming and renewing our minds. Now we're down in verse 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, and 8 here, where Paul is talking about the issue of gifts. And the gifts are gifts that God the Holy Spirit has parted and given to believers so that they can function as members of the body. Verse number 6, he says, having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us. Now, I should go back to verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. You see, the whole issue in operating the gifts and in operating your service is an issue of thinking. Your Christian life will not operate on the basis of ignorance. It won't operate on the basis of emotionalism. It won't operate on the basis of legalism. It'll only operate on the basis of faith. Faith is taking God at his word. So you're going to have an intelligent understanding of the word of God and of what God's doing today so that your faith can then rest upon that. And as you believe, as you rest in God's truth to you, then God the Holy Spirit takes that truth and energizes it. You see, it's your faith resting in the facts of Calvary that allow the Spirit of God the liberty to take those facts and liberate your life from sin and then produce fruit that the holiness and righteousness of God will accept. The fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ then fill your life. The fruit, the living outworking of the identity, the righteousness that you have in Christ. And that comes as we focus our attention and we approve the things that God's Word says are excellent. Now, in this passage, it's obvious that the gifts here were an important issue in relation to the service of the Romans. In 1 Corinthians 12 to 14, in connection with the service of the Corinthians, and in Ephesians 4, in connection with the service of the Ephesians. So the gifts are very important. There's a tremendous emphasis in the 70s and the 80s. It's kind of died out in the 90s. But in the 70s and the 80s, the charismatic movement began to gain sway in the 60s. And in evangelicalism in the 70s and the 80s, gift seeking. That is, that you should seek your gift. That when God put you in the body, he gave you supernaturally, instantly, the moment he saved you, he gave you by his Spirit a special gift. And what you need to do is seek that gift and find that gift God gave you. Can I say to you clearly that there is not one verse of Scripture in all of the Word of God that ever tells you as an individual to seek your gift? Not one. Now that's interesting. God never tells you to seek a gift. And you know, you say, well, why is that? Well, think about it. If you had to seek it, it wouldn't be a gift. Okay? So there's no instructions to seek a gift. But the gifts are there. And you need to understand why. And why those gifts that once were there are no longer supernaturally and individually given today. Romans chapter 6, he lists the gifts, and obviously they were there. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, though, is a passage that you need to consider in this regard. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14, Paul deals with the issue of spiritual gifts that were in evidence at Corinth. We live in the Corinthian church age. We live in an age just like the Corinthians and the Galatians. The carnality, the shallow-minded emotionalism of the Corinthians is an evidence all around us today. The legalism, the mixing of law and grace, of the Galatianism, and the formalism that would result from that, and the religious days and months and years and all the right-keeping and the show in the flesh that way is about us on every hand today. The Corinthian chaos, it was literally the chaos of the of what we would call the charismatic chaos and confusion that resulted from the carnal believers seeking not to operate on the basis of faith in the truth of God's word and grow up in Christ, but rather to be captivated by childish things. Now, you know good and well that when you talk to children, you know, Paul says that I couldn't speak to you as meat, but as unto babes in Christ, 1 Corinthians 3. They were immature children at Corinth. And you know that the way you teach children is with signs and wonders. You know that you teach children with toys and outward signs and things when you're trying to get them to eat, or you're trying to potty train them, or you're trying to get them in the car, or you're trying to make them behave. You do all kinds of crazy things to make them listen and to make them go. Children need to be taught that way. Adults don't. Children need a reward system. You do something, well, why are we going to get this for it, you know? And you do that, and you teach them with signs and wonders. But it would be an insulting thing to do that to an adult. Well, the Corinthians were having that problem. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul talks about the gifts that were there. Though I speak with, in chapter 12, he talks about the general gifts. Chapter 14, he talks about prophecy and the gift of tongues. In chapter 13, he talks about the temporary nature of the gifts, how they weren't going to last forever. And the Corinthians were focusing on the gifts. They were focusing on the trinkets that God had in operation, not realizing why they were there, seeking to puff themselves up and edify themselves by the use of things that God was going to remove. And they were forgetting the weightier matters of spiritual maturity. 1 Corinthians 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. You got the gift of tongues. If you don't have charity, it's of no value. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, that's the gift of prophecy, the gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, and the gift of faith. They're listed for you back in chapter 12, verse 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11 there. I've got all these gifts that God was given, and I don't have charity, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor and give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Though I've got the gift of helps and government and so forth and ministry, and I don't have charity, it's of no value. Nothing, none of that's going to last. Verse 8, charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, and that will be the gift of prophecy, they shall fail. You see, prophecies, the prophets of the Word of God are never going to fail. But the gift of prophecy is what he's talking about. It is going to fail. It's going to quit operating. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. He's not talking about languages. He's talking about the gift of tongues. There's never going to come a time when men don't talk. See? For men not to talk, for languages to pass away, I mean the Word of God would have to pass away, and the Word of God is settled in heaven forever. So we know we're not talking about just languages, communication. We're talking about the gift of tongues. There's going to come a time when the gift of tongues cease. Now you need to look at that. Think about that. Notice what it says. Whether there be knowledge, and that again will be the gift of knowledge. There's never going to come a time when people don't have knowledge, when people don't know things. You know, he didn't talk about just knowledge passing away in the sense of knowing things. Jesus says, this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Well, if knowledge, if knowing things passed away, then you'd lose eternal life, because eternal life is knowing God, according to John 17, 4. Well, he's talking about the gift of knowledge. It's going to pass away. So the gifts programs, the gifts of prophecy and tongues and knowledge are going to vanish away. They're going to cease. They're going to fail to operate. Well, when is that going to happen? For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. He said, we know, we have knowledge. But that knowledge is only partial knowledge. It isn't complete yet. We know in part, Therefore, we prophesy what we can preach, what we can tell people about. We prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part will be done away with. Now tell me something. What is it that is going to complete knowledge? Now I know what the preachers say. They say, well, that's the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now you've heard that. And then you go on down to verse 11 and 12, and you use, you know, now we see through a glass darkly, and then face to face. The now is why we know in part. The then is when that which is perfect has come. It's not heaven. God Almighty is, there's not one verse of Scripture in any testament of the Bible, in any place in the Bible, that would ever give you the idea that God Almighty is content for you to wait till you die and go to heaven, or until Jesus comes back for you to be complete and mature. That's nonsense. That's preacher talk because they don't either understand the verse or they want to get around the verse. They don't like what the verse teaches. Now look at here. If I got an apple pie, and I take an apple pie, and I've got a half an apple pie here, and I say, I'm going to take that apple pie and I'm going to complete that apple pie, and the way I'm going to complete the apple pie is I'm going to add some pine chips to it. Would pine chips complete an apple pie? Well, no. You know it's not going to complete. What's necessary to complete the apple pie? Well, there's only one thing going to complete the apple pie, and that's some more apples. Isn't it? Whatever the partial is can only be completed with more of the same. Now that's real easy to see, real simple to see. You can't miss that unless you want to. The verse told you what's in part. We know in part. Hence we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, when the partial is completed, then that which is in part shall be done away. The only thing that's going to do away with partial knowledge is perfect, complete knowledge. When the revelation of God's Word is completed, when the knowledge is completed, see, there is this partial state right now where things are in part. But then there's going to come a time when things are going to be complete. This is then. Well, this is what he said now. This is now. This is then. Then shall we know even as we're known. The thing that completes the partial knowledge is full knowledge. The rest of the knowledge is there. This is the now, book of Acts. The word's not completed. Then it's completed. So there's coming a time, Paul is telling them, in which the word of God is going to be completed. Now if you go back to Romans chapter number 12, you'll see the same kind of a truth back there. Romans chapter 12, verse number 3. Romans 12, 3, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Back here, in the partial thing, they have a measure of faith. They don't have all of it, but they have a measure of it. It's not complete yet, but they've got it, and it's being measured out to them more and more. Verse number 6, having them gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. They don't have it all, they got a portion of it. They've got a part of it. Okay? Now come with me to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. One day, there's more than the partial going to be there. One day, there's more than the part going to be there. One day, there's more than simply the measure going to be there. One day, the full thing's going to show up. One day, that which is perfect is going to come. And that's going to be right over there when that book is completed, when the knowledge is finished. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now you want to notice this passage. He gave gifts unto men. This is a passage talking about after the ascension of Jesus Christ. I'll get over here on the edge just a second. Jesus Christ dies at Calvary, goes away, sends the Holy Spirit back on the day of Pentecost. He's up here at the Father's right hand. The 12 apostles are made apostles back here during his earthly ministry. They were given before his ascension, before his death, burial, and resurrection. In Ephesians 4, these apostles are given after he ascended up on high, he gave gifts to men. Whoever you think the people in Ephesians 4 are, I know one thing, they are not the 12 apostles back here. Because the 12 apostles back here are given prior to his ascension up far above all heavens. They are not the ones being operated on the day of Pentecost because he was not, as verse number 9 and 10 indicate that he is, far above all heavens at that time. Those gifts are not given until Jesus Christ ascends up far above all heavens and through the ministry given to the Apostle Paul, gives out these gifts. Now notice what happens when he gives the gifts. Verse number 11. Skip the parenthesis of verse 9 and 10. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some pastors, some evangelists. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Notice the word, the verb there, give, is in the past tense. He gave. Back there, he gave them. Doesn't say he's continuing to give them. Says he gave them. Why did he give them? For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body. Till, there's a time limit on how long he's going to give them. Till we all come into the unity of the faith. Now back here, they had a proportion of the faith. Over here, they're going to have a unity of the faith. Let's go back, verse 13. Till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. Just exactly what back over here said we're going to find. Unto the fullness of the measure of the stature. Unto the measure, rather, of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Over here, you have a partial measure. Over here, you're going to have a full measure. You see what's going on over here? The thing's been completed. Now you say, well, when did all that take place? Well, go with me, if you will, to hold on to Ephesians 4 and look at 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. He says those things are going to come for the perfecting of the saints. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That verse in Ephesians 4 said that he gave these gifts for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. How are saints going to be perfected after the word's completed? The word of God is given to perfect the saints. You see, I don't need to go back over here and have the gift program and the gifts somehow supernaturally given to me to perfect me, because God, through His Word, His written Word, now accomplishes what the gifts were necessary before to accomplish, because the Word wasn't completed. Before the word was completed, did they need pastors, teachers, evangelists, pastors, and prophets, and teachers, and so forth? Did they need people to give? Did they need people to preach? Did they need people to minister? They needed all those jobs. So God had to supernaturally give them those jobs because they didn't have the completed word to motivate them to do it. But now that the word of God is complete, the perfecting of the saints is through the word of God, 2 Timothy 3:17. The work of the ministry is accomplished through the word of God working in the believer, 2 Timothy 3:17. And the edifying of the body of Christ is accomplished through the word of God working through them that believe, 2 Timothy 3:16. Now the word does what once it took the supernatural ministry of the gifts program to accomplish. The word, what the gifts were doing, the word now does. So you don't need me to do a bunch of sign gifts to prove to you I'm a man of God or not. You got a book that God gave you, that He required, that He's given you information and told you how to study it, and you can get in that book and figure out whether or not what I'm telling you is true or not by an objective standard of a book, words written on a page, preserved for you to read in your own language. The Word of God works in the believer to motivate the believer to do what we're personally fitted to do. That's why it's the Word of God that works in you that believe. Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." The life of Jesus Christ lives through the believer as the Word of God rests in your understanding, in your inner man, is stored up in your inner man, and you walk by faith in the reality of what God's Word says. That's the key. You don't need to go back and try to find emotional experiences or gifts. Rest in the written Word of God and the truth God has given you in that completed book, and it'll motivate you to do everything God has for you. Until next time, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that we'd like you to have to go along today's study. The tape is entitled, "Are You a Gifted Believer?" It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at The Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during regular business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 328. That's tape offer number 328. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us today. If our study together has been a help to you, we're happy to put you in touch with the Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His rightly divided word. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know. We're happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's blessing to you next time for another Message of Grace.